I had a way of sneaking it into pretty much all of my conversations. No, it was not the fact that any day now I'm going to be a dad for the first time, although that would have been a good thing to talk about. That wasn't it. And it wasn't the fact that my March Madness bracket was totally busted like everyone else was talking about. No, that's not what I was sneaking into all of my conversations. It was the fact that for my birthday, I was going to have a grade school style sleepover. Which is something I really shouldn't have been telling people about. Me, 27-year-old, with 8 of my fellow senior at the seminary buddies getting together, eating Doritos and playing video games till 2 in the morning is not something I should have been proud of. But I had a way of sneaking it into pretty much every single one of my conversations. It's exactly what Paul did. Except what he was putting into his conversations was far more important than what I was doing. Paul proclaimed the Easter message. And he took advantage of every opportunity he had to proclaim the Easter message. And the way that he did it was so bold that it's amazing. And so from this lesson today, we want to learn from Paul's example to proclaim the Easter message by taking advantage of every opportunity and to proclaim it boldly. Paul snuck in the Easter message at really the most inappropriate time. But to really understand it, we have to understand the story. So we got to go back a couple of years. Paul, you know that he was anti-Christian? Like he was the most anti-Christian you'd ever meet. By his own proclamation, he said, in his fury and in his rage, he was looking for people who believed that Jesus was the Savior, and he was hunting them down and throwing them into prison. It was so bad that after he finished in Jerusalem, he went out to other towns to find Christians just so he could put them into prison. And so on one of these trips, he was on his way to Damascus when Jesus appeared to him in all of his glory. And Paul fell to the ground and Jesus said to him, "Why are you persecuting me? I'm going to make you one of my greatest missionaries. You're going to go out into all the world and tell people about me." And that's exactly what Paul did. And Paul was the greatest missionary I think the Christians have ever seen. He went on 3 trips around the Mediterranean, and at every city he went to, he talked about Jesus. And now he was the Savior of the world. After Paul's 3rd missionary journey, he was back in Jerusalem, and he did what he normally did. Talked about Jesus. And the Jews hated him for it. First, they hated him for it because he was telling people that Jesus was the Messiah, and we all know how the Jews felt about Jesus. Just remember what happened on Good Friday. But that wasn't the worst part of it, that the Jews hated Paul because he was saying that the Gentiles, the non-Jews, were children of God too because of what Jesus did. And that infuriated the Jews. It got them so angry that they rioted and a mob grabbed Paul and they were trying to tear him apart and kill him. Thankfully, the Roman soldiers were there and they rushed in, they grabbed Paul and they took him into custody just to save his life. And it was so bad that the commander of the Romans had to send Paul north to Caesarea to Governor Felix just to save Paul's life. So there Paul was in Caesarea with Governor Felix, and some of the high-ranking Jews came up and they had their trial. And the Jews had nothing on Paul. And Paul was obviously innocent, but Felix was not a very good governor. He was corrupt. And even though Paul was innocent, he kept Paul in custody looking for a bribe, which Paul never paid. Paul was in custody for 2 years. Thankfully, news about Governor Felix's corruption got to Rome, and so they replaced Governor Felix with Governor Festus, who is there to clean up the mess that Felix had created. And so he was listening to all the trials from the past, and one of them was Paul. So Paul is brought before Governor Festus, and the Jews wanted Paul to be sent back down to Jerusalem so they could... And Governor Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked Paul, "Is it all right if we have the trial down in Jerusalem?" Well, Paul, knowing what the Jews were planning on doing, said, "I appeal to Caesar." As a Roman citizen, Paul had the right to go before the emperor of all Rome if he felt that he was having an unfair trial. And Festus, being the good, law-abiding governor that he was, said, "To Caesar you shall go." A couple days later, the king, King Agrippa, came to pay his respects to the new governor, and in their conversations it came up about this peculiar case, that there was this man named Paul who seemed innocent, but he appealed to Caesar, and Agrippa was curious, and so he asked if he could see Paul. Naturally, Festus agreed, and he set up the whole thing, and so Paul was brought out the next day before King Agrippa, Governor Festus, high-ranking officers in the army, and prominent men in the town. And there, Paul made his defense. And he told his whole story, how he was an anti-Christian, how Jesus appeared to him, and how he went on these missionary journeys telling people that Jesus is the Savior from sin. And he gets to his conclusion, and that's our reading for today. And so Paul says, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, that one on the way to Damascus. First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, he did exactly what Jesus told him to do. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some of the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen." And he should have stopped there, because that would have been an excellent defense. "King Agrippa, God came to me. He told me to do stuff. I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. And it agrees with everything the Jews believe. So they've got nothing on me. I rest my case." But no, Paul didn't stop there. He was going to take advantage of every opportunity he had to proclaim the Easter message. He said, "I am not saying anything beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." Is Paul crazy? Like, here he is, standing on trial, defending his right to live, and he's telling people about Jesus. Like, I don't know about you, but the last time that I told, even a friend in casual conversation about Jesus suffering and resurrection, years ago, if that. And here Paul was, standing on trial, telling people about Jesus. Like, I don't know if I just get scared, or if I just don't want to be awkward, or I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm nothing like Paul. Paul took advantage of his opportunity to share the gospel there on trial. He didn't care about the awkwardness. He didn't care about who he was talking to. He took advantage of this opportunity to share the good news about Jesus. Because he was doing exactly what God told him to do. To preach the gospel. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 to his disciples, to his believers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," the Easter message, "to all creation." Lord, forgive me for those times I'm not like Paul, and I don't take advantage of every opportunity to proclaim the Easter message. But we can learn from Paul. We can learn to take advantage of every opportunity, but we can also learn to be bold when we proclaim that message. See, when Paul gets to the height of his argument, right, he crescendos to this big moment that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring a message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. You almost expect King Agrippa and Governor Festus to say, "Amen, brother." But that is not what Governor Festus said. He said to Paul, "Paul, are you out of your mind? Your great learning is driving you insane." Put yourself in Paul's shoes at this moment. Here he is on trial, defending his right to live. The judge just said to him, "You are insane. You're out of your mind. Do you think that at a time like that, you'd back off a little bit, maybe try to change your approach?" But that's not what Paul did. Paul was bold, and he defended what he said. "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is true and reasonable." And then, this is the best part, he turns to the king, and he tries to get the king on his side, right? He says to King Agrippa, "The king is familiar with these things. I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner," talking about Jesus, his death, and his resurrection. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Like, just picture this. Here Paul is on trial, and he's trying to convert the judge to become a Christian. I mean, that's incredibly bold of Paul. And I think King Agrippa was a little taken aback too. He was surprised. He said, "Do you think that in such a short time, you can persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Talk about boldness. And it makes you wonder, what is it that's making Paul so bold to proclaim the Easter message? And we get our answer from what Paul said to King Agrippa, right? The first thing he said, "I pray to God that." I pray to God that. He knew who had the power. Right? He was putting all his faith in God. He knew that God was there with all of the power. These people weren't going to be converted by Paul's logical thinking or eloquent words. No, he knew that if God wanted these people to come to believe in him, that was God who was going to do it. Paul knew that he was simply a tool in God's hands doing God's work. And so Paul was bold because he knew he had the power of God behind him. And the other reason why Paul was so bold is because he knew the power in the Easter message. Right, Paul said he wanted everyone listening to be like him except for these chains. Well, what did that mean? Paul wanted all of those people to be like him, a believer in Jesus. Paul wanted all of those people to have the same assurance and confidence that they were going to be in heaven, like Paul. Paul wanted all of them to have their sins forgiven and to be a child of God, just like he was. And that all happens through the Easter message. And so Paul was bold because he knew the power that was in the message. And that's why you and I can be bold. You and I can be bold when proclaiming the Easter message because we've got God behind us. When you go out and proclaim the Easter message, that's God speaking through you. And if someone comes to faith, that's God's work. That's God's doing. That's God's power, not yours. And so be bold when you proclaim the Easter message because you've got God behind you. You're his tool and he's using you to do his work. And also be bold when you proclaim the Easter message because there's power in it, right? You want those people you're talking to be like you, to believe in Jesus, to have the assurance and the confidence and the hope that you are going to heaven, to be like you and know that your sins are forgiven and know that you are a child of God. So be bold when you proclaim the Easter message. And I could say amen right now. But I don't want anyone to get upset at me because I'm leaving something out. This whole time I'm talking about the Easter message. What's the Easter message? What's the Easter message that Paul proclaimed? He said the Messiah would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would bring a message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Yes, Jesus did suffer. He suffered on Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. He suffered the worst suffering that there is. He suffered the punishment for sins that you and I deserved. And Jesus was the first to rise from the dead. He was the first to rise from the dead. Because He rose from the dead, we too will rise from the dead. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, we know for a fact that the payment Jesus paid on the cross was sufficient for all of our sins. We know, because Jesus died on the cross, that our sins are forgiven. Paul calls this message a message of light. This message about Jesus, crucified and resurrected, brings people from the darkness of sin and death and brings them to the light of life and forgiveness. This message of Jesus crucified and resurrected frees people from the clutches of sin and death and brings them into the loving arms of their Heavenly Father. This is the message of Easter. So proclaim it every chance you get, and proclaim it boldly. Amen.